Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Here we go. Hour number two. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. True pleasure to have Andy Luger in studio. We wanted to make this work, but scheduling pops in and out, so we were able to pull it off. This man, highly, highly respected legal mind, two separate times U.S. attorney for the state of Minnesota, first appointed by Barack Obama, then appointed by Joe Biden. Now back in practice with Jones Day. So I thank you for coming in. What do you most miss about your previous job?
Well, I think that's easy. I think making a difference every day in public safety and the lives of people in the state of Minnesota, a positive difference, that's just a tremendous honor. And you can't replace that with any other job.
You're 65, correct?
Yes. I don't know where we're going with that. No. So I'm
59, so I'm closing in on you. We talked about a health scare you had, a very serious health scare a few years ago. You look great right now. Did you think about at any point saying, man, I've been in this business forever. I'm 65. I've had a great run. I'm going to do other things.
Like what?
That's how I feel, too.
So here's what I'm doing. I went back to my law firm and I'm practicing law and I love what I'm doing. I finally, after all these years, I'm taking golf lessons.
Really?
So this is the big revelation. I have
Trust
not said
me.
This publicly. Yeah. I'm saying it now.
Yeah.
My parents played golf my whole life. I tried to play with them a little bit when I was younger. Never took a lesson and I'm on my 15th lesson.
15th lesson?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have somebody you really like?
Yeah.
Okay. Where have you improved the most?
So the first time I walked in, I don't know if anybody cares about this, but
I've decided they do.
Okay. The first time I walked in and I had my 7-iron or 6-iron or whatever in the simulator in the basement, and I went up. He says, let me just see you hit 10 balls. And when I'm done, he looks at me and he says, so are you mad at the ball? Did the ball do something that we should know about? Because you're attacking this ball.
Yeah.
So we
It's like a court case.
Right. So we've learned how to relax a little bit.
That's good.
You know, the shoulders relax a little bit. And I've got a swing now that I mostly connect with the ball.
Yeah.
And we're on our way to teaching me how to be a somebody who can play golf.
Okay. Have you actually played golf so far this spring?
We're going to go out shortly.
Yeah.
Every lesson we've had has been on the simulator in the basement where I can't hurt anybody.
Is this typical Andy Luger that he wants to have extensive preparation for anything he's going to do?
So like a lot of people, if I'm going to do something, I want to be good at it.
Yep.
And at very least, I don't want to be terrible at it.
Yep.
And on the things that I'm good at, I work really hard
yep.
to both maintain and get better. Here, I'm kind of starting from scratch.
Yeah, you are.
I wanted to be a ball player. I yep. played ball for a long time. Now,
did you consider trying that again at 65?
Yeah, and we passed over that to the golf lessons. And yeah. I think we're all fortunate about that. It's funny because I thought today was like the wrong day to come in and talk about crime because everybody's focused on the Timberwolves tonight.
Yeah.
As am I. So yeah. Maybe people are interested in what we'll have to say. Maybe they won't.
Yeah. No, there's plenty of interest. I can assure you that. If you had to say the one issue you were most proud of about your last run as U.S. attorney for the state, what would it be?
I think it's the work on violent crime. Obviously, a lot of people follow the Feeding Our Future case,
yep.
and that right. was critical, and that would be number two, close second. But we really needed to do something about violent crime. It's not something this city and this state have really had to deal with in the past. I moved here, as maybe we talked about previously, in 1992 from New York, and you know what passed for violent crime here was a drop in the bucket compared to a lot of big cities around the country. That changed in 2020. Mm-hmm. And so I came in, I got nominated in 2021, came in 2022, very focused on violent crime. And I think that's what was needed.
Is violent crime today in 2025, where is it at? Is it pre-COVID, pre-George Floyd, or can we go back further? And it's so uncertain because in Minneapolis, they just had this stretch without a homicide close to 3 months. And now we have a 14-year-old who shot and killed outside the Federal Reserve Building at 9 o'clock last night. We had the gang shooting last week. Where are we in the broadest perspective?
In a number of respects, we're much, much better than we were when I started. In other respects, we got a ways to go. And I said that March of 2022 is when I got sworn in. Worked with the law enforcement, the police, the sheriff, the FBI, ATF, all the federal agencies, and the BCA, came up with a strategy that we announced actually May 3rd of 2022. And what I said back then and what I've been saying ever since is it would take about 5 years for what we were doing to really take hold. And I can come back to that.
Yeah.
And I think we made a lot of progress, in particular neighborhoods specifically. So if the police chief was here and somebody said he was on this
yeah,
morning.
Yeah, he was on with Adam and Jordan this morning.
I think what he would say is that in certain neighborhoods in the north side and the south side where gangs were quite prevalent, those numbers have dropped dramatically down pre-COVID levels, which is what we wanted and to keep going. That's got to keep going, and I think it will with the current lineup at the U.S. Attorney's Office and law enforcement. We also took carjackings way down. People might remember in Minneapolis in 2021, they reported 650 carjackings.
Yeah, it's a stunning amount.
It's a stunning number. And we took that on with everybody involved, and that was the right thing to do. And it's gone way down, not as far down as it should. What you're seeing now are other types of shootings and murders that are not necessarily tied to a gang, not necessarily tied to one particular thing, and that's a sign, one, of we still don't have enough police, we still don't have enough law enforcement on the streets, and we've got a ways to go.
Yeah. How important was a different type of coordination that you brought that others who also were trying to achieve that, their goal was certainly meritorious and the right. But what was different about trying to bring all these parties together?
It was essential. And when I talk, you know, if I'm invited to dinner parties, which, you know, sometimes I am, sometimes I'm not, what I try to explain to people is, yes, it's good to have aggressive prosecutors. It's good to have a lot of law enforcement. The number one key to doing what we did and what others are doing is collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have everybody in the room, and they have to be willing to share their informants and share their intelligence toward the greater good. That doesn't always happen in law enforcement. It doesn't always happen with prosecutors.
Why doesn't it?
Because people are territorial. They, yep. you know, You get rewarded for your stats. You get rewarded for what you produce. This is the system we've created. So, you know, I've been in and out of law enforcement my whole career, and I've seen it over and over again. Prosecutors fighting with other prosecutors. Who does this case? Who does that case? We kind of cut through that here, and whether it's FBI and ATF, who in a lot of parts of the country don't get along, or the sheriff and the police, who sometimes don't get along.
Yeah.
Here we got everybody in the room, and we looked at each other, and we said, we got to do this together. And it worked.
Let's pause here. I want to get back to the gang part of it, because that's an enormous part of what you emphasize. You mention it, and it's still a huge story. There's so many questions to ask Andy Luger. He's in studio with us for the entire hour. We're not going to take calls, but we'll look at texts as always. If you have a question for the former two-time U.S. attorney for this state, we'll certainly look at those. You know where to track us down, 651-461-9226. Back with Andy in moments. I want to talk again about Pella and how much I believe in Pella windows and doors. This is an uber-competitive business. I could mention numerous excellent competitors, and if you have those windows and doors, I bet you're pretty good. I just think the evidence is overwhelming that Pella is the best in the business. 100 years. Look at how they rank continuously in customer service. Look at where the warranties are. Look at where their innovation is. Look at where they're staying ahead of their competitors in key ways. Look at how, if you go to PellaNorthland.com, you can schedule a free, no-cost visit. Free. They'll come out to your house, condo, take a look. If you want to see the product in person, you go to one of the showrooms in Woodbury in Plymouth. If you're like me, you've lived in a house with Pella windows and doors for 20-some years, and I'm moving this year, and I made sure the new house would have Pella windows and doors because they make my house better, and I can get them out there, and the warranties are so great. I truly believe in them. Right now, through May 31st, this is your offer, and it's about as good as it gets from Pella. 0% APR for 72 months, or 50% off qualifying installations. Don't wait. Do it right now. PellaNorthland.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Okay, I think for a lot of us, and Andy Luger is here, two-time U.S. attorney for the state of Minnesota. Sometimes, I mean, I'll just go with me. My perception about gang activity is that sometimes it's a whack-a-mole situation. that you and everybody does this great work, but seemingly then there's five more, then there's 10 more. That doesn't mean you stop. That doesn't mean you give up. But for that feeling that there's just this pipeline, that if you arrest individuals, guess what? A cousin, somebody else is coming in, so it doesn't slow down.
So I think normally that would be true. I think what we did and U.S. Attorney's Office is still doing with RICO changed the dynamic.
Okay.
And that was the intent. The intent is rather than picking off Joe and Sally and Harry, let's take down the entire organization.
Yeah.
As it existed at that moment. So we indicted 100 gang members in less than 2 years, many of whom we charged with RICO and who will likely go to prison for life. The RICO message that we're taking the entire organization as a whole really sent a strong signal to those coming up next. Doesn't mean it's going to eliminate the problem. And it doesn't mean that, you know, when you do this, you can stop. But it's a different dynamic. So I think we're less whack-a-mole right now than we used to be,
okay,
and more kind of taking on things as a whole. As I said before, I think it takes about 5 years for this to really work. We're in year three now, and there are probably, I assume there'll be more charges to come under the approach that we were taking when I was there.
Do you believe who's in the position now, are they following, and they get to do what they want, right? They need to step in, and in this very important position, as you know. Are they conceptually following most of your core ideas?
So right now, we don't have a full-time new U.S. attorney. The people in leadership were the people who were there when I was there, and they are proceeding along the path that we were on. They're also now adding in the new administration's priorities, and that's what it always
And that's
is.
Typical of what happened.
Yeah, that's normal.
Yep.
So some of my priorities, I think, were also the priorities of the new administration. It's hard to believe otherwise.
Yeah.
And then there are other new priorities. So you have to kind of rejigger your resources and figure out where you're going to go. When a new U.S. attorney gets nominated, I've told, you know, the powers that be that I'm happy to sit down and go over everything we were doing and what we think worked, not to convince somebody to do it my way, but to
information.
And that's also pretty typical. I gotta believe going after violent crime, going after the gangs, carjackings, that's something everybody seems to want to be done.
Yeah.
So I don't really see that changing dramatically.
On the gangs, how many gangs do we have? Is it mainly this core group? If they stayed status quo, are more gangs coming in? How would you typify that?
So what we, coming in March of 2022, we focused really on three gangs. The Bloods on the south side and the Highs and the Lows on the north side. The Bloods, the indictment we did against the Bloods and the trial that was won in 2024 against the Bloods, we think, and it's not just what I think, it's what law enforcement tells us and what we hear on the streets, really had a major impact on the Bloods. And I don't think you'll be hearing in a big way from the Bloods for a while. On the north side, it was the Highs and the Lows divided by Broadway. And we've taken out a chunk of people from the Highs and the Lows through the indictments that have been done, the trials that have started. I think we've made a real dent there. There was another group on the south side called the 10s and 20s, tried to make sort of a new run at it. We were tipped off by some people about that, quickly indicted 10 of their leaders. They went back. Some of them had come out of prison, and they went back. The question now is what's popping up that's new, and I'm on the outside looking in,
right?
But I read the papers, and I see Native Mob being talked about with respect to some of the murders that we're just seeing. That's a statewide gang that's been around for a long time, actually addressed maybe 15 years ago by some of my predecessors. If they're peeking their head out, then you got to do that again. You got to take them on in the same way we did the Highs and Lows. I don't know the facts and the figures there, but if that's what's happening, then my successor will probably want to focus there. What's new about the office and what's new about law enforcement is we now know how to do these RICO cases. Okay. We started from scratch, had to learn. There's a whole rhythm to that, how to investigate them, how to build them. Now that knowledge is in place, My successor and people in law enforcement can, if they choose to do so, take that knowledge and apply it to whoever's coming up next.
Let's talk feeding our future, because that obviously is another huge part of your job, and it's been such an enormous talker in this state. For the portion of our audience who's listening right now and is still convinced that these individuals should have been identified much, much sooner, that they're glad that they finally were caught, but the feeling that this was such a level of money, that it was going on too long, and that they should have been identified much sooner, what do you say to them?
I agree. There are a number of factors at play, and I'll just lay them out, or a couple of them. One, it was the pandemic. So state regulators were working from home. People were working from home. The resources were down. It was a lot more difficult, if you think about the heart of the pandemic, to go out and monitor something live. So that's number one. Number two, when people did see this, the irregularities, mm-hmm. Some of the outrageous claims, and they raised the complaint, feeding our future, and this came out during the trials, feeding our future went on the offense and rallied people around them and sued the state and argued that this the only reason they were being looked at was because of their immigrant status and their and
this is when they went at the Department of Education.
Yep, and they went after them calling people racist.
Yep.
And I have a lot of sympathy for somebody who's employed at the Department of Education, doing their job, been there for a long time, dedicated state worker, sees his irregularities, and before they know it, they're in a deposition being accused under oath of racism.
Right.
It's a tough place to be.
Yep.
So what I have said really ever since is we got to take on this false allegation of racism when it arises. False allegation of anti-immigrant status when it arises, mm-hmm. and just get to the facts. And I think a combination of the pandemic and this offense by feeding our future had a lot to do with it. And then I've encouraged everybody from the legislators who I've met with in the governor's office, dig deeper, figure out how we can prevent this. There are some models out there. Going forward, rather than spending all of our time looking back on the mistakes, look forward and come up with an anti-fraud prevention plan, which a number of people are working on, so that it doesn't happen again.
There are many Republicans in this state who give you great respect, and that is a compliment. So I'm going to ask this direct question. When they say Tim Walz and Keith Ellison should have stepped in sooner, that as visible as they are, as accountable as they have to be in those jobs, and they don't buy and they believe they were derelict in their responsibility and should be held more accountable, you say what to them?
I don't see it that way. I think it's very easy to point fingers. When something goes wrong...
Sometimes it's accurate, though, right?
Fair enough. There's a lot of things that could have been done differently. This is a problem that was building for a long time. There's fraud in state government programs that goes back a long way. And you could look at a lot of people and say, why didn't you do this and why didn't you do that? I'll let everybody reach their own conclusions. I'm more interested in looking forward, how to prevent this going forward. I think by the work that we did, we opened a lot of eyes. Mm-hmm. I've had very productive meetings with all of the Republicans, Democrats, who want to talk to me about this. And I've been very candid that there are ways to prevent this from going forward in the future. I don't think anybody that I've talked to is interested in seeing another $250 million fraud.
No, it's staggering. So do you think the legislative changes that have been offered up or proposed, are they also useful?
I think everybody's got good ideas. And so there are legislators who have good ideas on both sides of the aisle. There are good ideas coming out of the governor's office, the BCA. I think there are really productive conversations taking place, and I encourage them, and I've weighed in a little bit on those. I think until, I don't live in the Capitol in St. Paul, and I don't do what they do, but it sounds to me like they got a budget to get through.
Yeah.
There's going to come a point, I believe, when everybody sits down and kind of decides on what the menu of options are that are going to work for Minnesota.
This is Andy Luger. He is excellent. Twice U.S. Attorney for the state of Minnesota. A lot of texts coming in. I'll look at your texts, and yes, The Hennepin County Attorney's Office, Mary Moriarty, will be part of the conversation when we come back after traffic and weather on CCO.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigators Later.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Andy Luger continues with us two separate times, the very effective and well-respected U.S. Attorney for the state of Minnesota, Mary Moriarty. I could go to the late, great Dark Star and just say, Mary Moriarty, your thoughts. But how about in the perception? And she ran clearly saying, I'm going to take a different approach. I'm going to look at more rehabilitation. I'm going to look at different ways. We're not just going to follow the same exact formula. But there are many people, myself included, who feel like there have been some prominent cases where I'm left shaking my head saying, no, that particular crime deserved a more significant punishment. So to those of us who feel that way, you say what to us?
Well, you got to give Mary credit. She ran on a very clear platform of criminal justice reform, rehabilitation. She's not a career prosecutor. She comes at this from a very different perspective, mm-hmm. and that's how she's doing the job. And she says all the time, this is what I was elected to do. This is what I said I would do. And she won by a significant margin in her election.
Double digits.
So the question then becomes for the voters. It's not what I think. It's what the voters think. Is this what we want or is this not what we want? And there are elections to decide those things. So if somebody were to say, and I get perspectives all over the map from people. If you feel strongly that this is not the direction you want, then you have a moment at an election to make your voice heard and to support a candidate who goes in a different way. But none of this is a surprise. None of this comes out of, you know, nowhere. It is exactly what she said she would do. And it's the same thing with city
council. I think some of us think she's went further.
I mean, look, we can go back and digest everything she said during the campaign, but this is my perception of what she wanted to do, and she's doing it. Whether it's the city council that a lot of people are upset with as well, this is who won.
Yeah.
So my answer in a democracy is if you don't, whether it's Donald Trump or Joe Biden or Mary Moriarty or somebody else, if you don't like what they're doing, vote them out.
Okay, what do you think about the city council and their role in the safety of Minneapolis?
So I've been very public since I stepped down as U.S. attorney that I don't agree with the position of the current city council. And I'm talking to and helping city council candidates who come in with a different approach.
Yep.
That's how I think. That's how I feel. We'll see what the voters decide.
So Moriarty in the office put something out here in the last 10 days that race will be a consideration case to case, and that they would be derelict in their responsibility if they did not consider that. That's kind of in the broadest way.
Right.
Now, the civil rights portion of the Department of Justice is saying, hold on a second. We're going to take a look at this and say, offer our own position on if you're stretching the law or if you're violating the law. What's your feeling about the decision by the Hennepin County Attorney's Office and then the DOJ to look at this?
So I don't know exactly what I think I know, but I don't know exactly what she means and what she intends.
Should she have been more specific about that?
Well, that I try not to tell other people how to do their jobs.
Yeah.
Chad, I'm
that's
sorry.
What I get, that's what I get to I do here. That's our Dave, that's our regular gig. I mean,
that's the bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. 3 hours a day.
I think Ant ought to drive the basket more.
Yes, I do too. And we're in agreement.
And I yell at the TV to drive to the basket more.
Yes.
But I'm not going to go on your show and, yeah. and say, hey, Ant, listen to me. You should drive the basket
he
more.
He listens.
Because I gave up playing basketball in 10th grade.
Yeah.
I think she should explain exactly what she means. Mm-hmm. I think it's part of her criminal justice reform approach mm-hmm. and that – you know, in talking to people who believe in serious criminal justice reform from a certain perspective and ideology, they believe there are too many people of color in prison and that there's sort of a pipeline and this, it repeats itself yep. and there's damage done and we've got to repair that. I don't see it that way.
Yeah.
So I don't come at it that way and I wouldn't do it that way.
Okay. So
but that doesn't mean she's wrong. She should have the opportunity to explain herself and go through it. And if there's a DOJ investigation, they can talk about it during the investigation. I see the difficulty of what she's saying, but I like to let people who are doing the job explain themselves and answer the questions rather than me doing
yeah,
it for them.
Understand. Okay. So I want to pick up on part of the answer. Four individuals, again, who are people of color, and they're going to cite their own experiences when they feel like they were mistreated, or they'll look at the breakdown of who's arrested, who's pulled over, who's in jail, and say that our system is not equal and that it favors wealth and skin in a way that it should not. Andy Luger, who's lived this as a legal participant, as an active participant, you say what?
So my approach as a prosecutor was to take every case on its merits and to set priorities. So we were going after the gangs. We were going after carjackers. We were going after violent crime. I didn't do an analysis of the deep background and the deep struggles that each person had. I figured that to the extent that anybody wanted to do it, a judge could look at that when it came to sentencing. Is it 15 years? Is it 10 years? Did this contribute? Did that contribute? There's a whole sort of layout of how you do that at sentencing, not explicitly on race, but on what your life was about. Every judge who sentences a defendant looks at their whole story and mm-hmm. picture, including
yeah, right.
the crime and the seriousness to the victims. And so we would often argue that out in court. You know, yes, this person had this kind of an upbringing, but look what they did to this person's life by virtue of what the crime they just committed. And I'm sorry what happened during their upbringing, but we think they need 15 years in prison. That plays out. I never took into account in charging whether those issues should play up front in the charging decision, because the charging decision has to be made on the merits, to me, the facts, who did what to whom, mm-hmm. and is this a priority that we have as an office? So if you're a gang member and you're involved in a shooting, you're going to get prosecuted as part of our priority. Somebody can determine down the line, once you're convicted, where you fit
okay.
in the spectrum of sentences. Those are different ways of looking at it. I obviously prefer mine, but if Mary Moriarty wants to come on your show and talk about this, she should. And she's yeah. very articulate. She's yeah. very smart. Mm-hmm. She and I get along very well. I think we come at things.
Was she an asset to your office?
The Hennepin County Attorney's Office and the U.S. Attorney's Office have a very good working relationship. She and I cooperated on a number of things. And, you know, she was very pleasant for me to deal with. We agreed on a number of things. We disagreed on others. That's how it works. She, like I said, she was elected to do something. I was appointed to do something differently mm-hmm. and different, yeah. and I have different responsibilities. And I leave it there. When in a couple of years, when it comes up for reelection, people will be free to make their decisions.
Do you know yet if you're going to vote for her for re-election?
I never talk about you, not because
break
of you.
Break down all of your votes. You got a pen and paper?
If we could go back 30 years, yeah. That would be nice.
You know, you're a great guy, and I love sitting here, but there are certain things I'm going to keep to myself. He's not such a great guy.
He's fine.
Yeah. okay.
I flatter.
He's going to walk out here saying, why did they even do this? You're 65. You're not going to jump into politics.
This is like the ninth time you've said my age.
I'm
a young 65.
You're a very fit. You're ready to go. Okay, so why wouldn't you jump into politics?
I think it's time for another next generation. I think it's time for other people to, you know, I was U.S. attorney twice.
Yeah.
I actually ran to be county attorney in 2006.
I know that.
I think it's time for a new generation
to step
up. That's
a pretty good race, by the way.
But yeah,
there was a couple well-known names.
Thank you. I came in second.
Yes, seems like he remembers that
a little bit.
Rather, okay. But during this last 15 years, where there was more name recognition, there was plenty of praise. Not fellow Democrats. There were plenty of Republicans who were like, Andy Lugar is the type of person I could vote for. Was there ever a point you thought Senate, Congress, Governor, I'm going to pursue that?
Not really. I want new people coming. I mean, I'll help the folks coming up, but I want people in their 30s, 40s, 50s to step up and bring a new sense of energy, new ideas. I really want that. I went back to be U.S. attorney a second time because I thought there was a mission that I could really accomplish, and it was compelling to do that, and I'm glad I did. But even that's unusual. So I think it really is time for new people, maybe even people we're not even recognizing today, to step up to the plate. And I'll support them, and I'm excited about that.
About five more minutes, and we'll let Andy go. Okay. I'm very confident you did not vote for Donald Trump. You're a Democrat. You've acknowledged that. So this has been 105 days of buckle up, everybody, in many, many ways, including the courts, including where this administration, how they feel about the Constitution, on responding to court orders, on challenging the law in ways that most administrations would not. What has concerned you the most about the first 100-some days on the legal side?
Well, just like other things, I don't want to dive into the middle of a political fight because I just left office, and one of the things that I don't believe in is the person leaving office turning around and criticizing the next group that comes in. So I'm going to beg off of that. I have very strong feelings of my own. One thing I will say is this. There are extremely talented people in government who – I don't even know their politics for the most part, but some are Republicans, some are Democrats, and they go from administration to administration. And at the Department of Justice, people who I know well, who I knew from when I was U.S. Attorney first, second, and who have been there across, who have expertise in all sorts of areas, are not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried about the brain drain, and I'm worried about what that means. Now, does that mean they won't be brought back or that other people won't develop their expertise? But I do concern myself when Democrats and Republicans leave government who have that deep, deep knowledge in areas that we don't normally think about.
Yeah, sure.
That concerns me. That's number one. Number two is I agree with the whole premise that we got to get rid of, you know, fraud, waste, and abuse. And there's plenty of that. And I have my own stories of what I've seen. People are leaving U.S. attorney's offices. They're being offered the early retirement, the fork in the road, other things. And they're not being replaced because the decision has been made to lower the number of federal employees. And, again, that's all great and good in and of itself. I worry that they're not going to have the capacity in this office or other U.S. attorney's offices, and, again, that may change, to do the work that needs to be done. So – while it's all very well and good, and I just, you know, in the last second that we have here, for these offices to be reduced because we're reducing overall number of federal employees and we have a budget crisis,
right.
I get that. There are consequences that flow from that. And we don't know what that's going to – we don't know what that looks like yet and how permanent that's going to be, but that's on my mind as well.
Okay. How much of your mind is directed at, and there was a good 60 Minutes report on it too, where the number of law firms who are saying that they're going to do pro bono work for the president, when to most of us it looks like this is blackmail, that if these law firms don't agree to do work for the president on common areas, that the president is going to take the power of the office and attack them, and that many of these firms somehow were previously doing their job and that was either directly or tangentially involved when Donald Trump was entangled in the law the last 4 years.
I think we need to see how this all plays out. I have friends at every one of those law firms, and I want to let them sort of have this work out. This is brand new.
Yeah.
This has never happened before that I'm aware of. And so while I have my own personal views, I really want everybody that's going through this to figure out how they want it to play. There are law firms fighting. There are law firms settling. There are other law firms. I think I want to let them all speak for themselves. Maybe, you know, that sounds like a dodge, and I'm sorry if it does.
It's a bit of a dodge,
but,
right?
But here,
you have to be troubled by this.
I have my own views.
Yeah.
What I don't like is when everybody starts condemning, whether you're condemning a law firm that's fighting or condemning a law firm that's settling, everybody's got their reasons for doing things, and I want them to speak for what they're doing, and then we can all weigh in after we learn more, but I think it's still early yet.
Yeah. That was very diplomatic.
I'm known for my diplomacy.
Yeah,
I still think Ant needs to drive to the basketball. I have strong feelings, but on what other people are doing,
I get it.
I'm at a point in my life where I want to let them speak for themselves.
Understand. I thoroughly enjoyed this. Can we do this again?
Yeah. Next time, maybe we don't refer to my age. Can we do
42-year-old Andy Luger with us here. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Andy Luger here on CCO.